You're hurt.
Tanner's voice was hoarse. So far, so good.
How far to the slide?
Jamie gestured with his chin toward the map displayed in the control panel's central screen.
Half an hour, maybe a little more.
We got a shot at getting to the top in daylight, then.
Yep.
Good.
How are the women doing? Jamie asked.
Ilona's asleep. Diana's watching her. She doesn't look too good herself, though.
Asleep or passed out? Connors tried to shrug.
Hard to tell.
And what about you? How do you feel?
Like a piece of shit that's been stomped on by a herd of elephants.
How about you?
Not much better.
But this go-mobile is easy to drive. It's almost relaxing.
Just don't fall asleep at the wheel.
Not much traffic to worry about.
Yeah, but some of the potholes in the road could swallow you up.
Despite Connor's awful appearance, Jamie felt better with the astronaut sitting beside him. He pressed the accelerator a little harder and watched the digital speedometer climb to 35, just over 20 miles an hour. He kept hearing Lee's voice telling him,
"It is urgent that you reach the dome for treatment quickly as you can."
The ground seemed to be rising. At first, Jamie did not notice it, but then he realized that their ride was getting bumpier.
"I think we're almost..."
"Hey, there it is!" Through the canopy, they saw the dark red slope of the ancient landslide rising off to their left like a stairway to heaven. The cliffs that towered before them were masked by the beautiful, gentle grade that ramped all the way up to the caprock and the plain that led back to their dome. Connor's dark face broke into a toothy grin. He turned in his seat, but said nothing. To Jamie, he muttered,
"They're both asleep back there."
"It's okay. We'll be up this slope and heading for home before the sun goes down." The grade was studded with rocks and boulders. Jamie could not see the tracks they had made on their way down. The dust storm had covered even the deep ruts where the rover had gotten temporarily stuck in loose sand.
"Don't get into that loose stuff again," Connor said.
"Not if I can help it.
Slow her down a little, but keep moving forward."
"Yeah." The astronaut licked his lips. Jamie knew he wanted to take over, to drive the rover himself. Yet Connors stayed in the right-hand seat. To switch drivers now would mean stopping the rover, and neither of them had any intention of coming to a stop on the pebbly gravel of this ancient avalanche.
"You're doing fine," Connors muttered. "Just watch that depression on the right."
Jamie skirted the edge of what looked to him like an old crater that had been partially filled in with sand. He turned around its flank, maneuvering past a boulder almost as big as the rover itself.
"Good. Good," Connors mumbled. "Keep it going."
It all happened in slow motion. The rover was making steady progress up the slope. Jamie could feel the gritty, bumpy texture of the surface beneath its wheels transmitted through the steering column to his hands. He was perspiring heavily, sweat stinging his eyes. Connor's backseat driving in his ears, neck stiff with tension, arms aching with the effort of steering the lumbering vehicle. Jamie felt the nose dip as if it had started down a steep incline. Automatically, he leaned on the brakes, but the big, blunt-nosed rover plowed into a lake of fine, loose sand, throwing up a rust-red bow wave of dust that covered the canopy.
"Look out!"
Connors yelled too late. As inexorably as fate, with all the slow-motion horror of a nightmare, the rover dug itself into the loose sand like a burrowing mole. Jamie felt the wheels churning uselessly, spinning them deeper into the sand-filled pit.
"Stop! Stop everything!"
Jamie was already disengaging the wheel drives when Connor shouted it. The canopy was spattered so heavily with clinging red dust that they could barely see outside. The rover slid to a stop. Jamie felt his heart thudding in his chest, heard its thunder in his ears. He looked across at Connors, who was staring outward, mouth hanging open, gasping for breath.
"I don't think the rear module is in the stuff," Jamie said. "I'm going to try to put its wheels in reverse."
"Yeah, maybe it can pull us out of this."
The generator whined, and they could hear the faint screech of wheels spinning without traction. Jamie shut them down before the bearings burned out.
"We're stuck," he said.
Connor's bloodshot eyes were wide with fear.
"Yeah. Looks that way."
Sol 38. Sunset. Voss Nesensky was the last one to be tested. The Russian was in no mood for having a medic punch holes in his skin. Connors had just reported that the rover was stuck halfway up a landslide. They would need a rescue effort. But how? And who? Dr. Lee refused to allow anything to be done until he had consulted with Mission Control in Kaliningrad. Meanwhile, night was coming on, and the four people in the rover were as sick as dogs. Not that the people in the dome were much better off. Toshima had suddenly collapsed at his workstation. They had had to carry him to his bunk. Patel, Naguib, even Abel and Mironov were not much good for anything except sitting around and moaning. Monique Bonnet, who had been playing the cheerful motherly nurse for the past 2 days, was dragging herself around, hollow-eyed with exhaustion.
"And how do you feel, in general?" Dr. Yang asked as Voznesensky sat on a little white stool in the infirmary.
The Russian glowered at her. "I have important work to do," he said. "We have a crisis."
Yang was barely taller than Voznesensky, even though he was seated and she was standing, but she stopped him cold with a snap of her almond eyes.
"You will not be able to do anything about your crisis if your medical condition continues to worsen," she said.
She did not raise her voice, but there was cold steel in her words.
"Now please answer my questions and do as I tell you."
Voznesensky glanced at Reed, who was leaning against the patient's couch in the corner of the tiny infirmary. Reed seemed to be in good health, his face pink. At least that damned superior smile of his was gone. He was frowning with puzzled frustration.
"The sooner you cooperate, the sooner we will be finished," Yang said.
Voznesensky capitulated.
"What must I do?"
"Roll up your left sleeve and tell me how you feel.
Exactly how you feel."
The Russian pulled in a deep breath as he unbuttoned the cuff of his coverall sleeve.
"I am weak. My legs ache. I have no appetite."
"Have you ever felt this way before?" Yang held a hypodermic syringe in one hand, its needle glinting in the overhead lights.
"Not that I can remember."
"Are you coughing or sneezing? Does your chest hurt?" Voznesensky shook his head, then winced. The needle went in smoothly. Yang found a vein on her first try.
"Any rash on your body?" she asked.
Watching the syringe fill up with dark blood, Voznesensky replied,
"No, not that I have noticed."
Yang pulled the needle out and slapped a plastic bandage on the puncture. Reed watched in silence, his arms folded across his chest. The diminutive Chinese physician asked Voznesensky to strip to the waist. Wordlessly, the Russian pulled down the top of his coveralls and slipped his undershirt over his head. Yang looked at his back.
"No rash," she muttered.
"Is that significant?" Voznesensky asked.
"Perhaps."
She looked across the small cubicle toward Reed, then murmured absently to Voznesensky,
"You may go now."
"Thank you." The Russian tugged on his coverall top and scurried from the infirmary despite his aching legs, carrying his undershirt in one hand. Janie fingered his bear fetish through the hard suit's gloves. Thin and flexible as they were, the gloves still robbed him of a true feeling of the stone's polished warmth. He was standing on the lab module's roof in the last slanting rays of the dying sun. He and Connors had barely been able to push the airlock hatch open. Then the astronaut had slumped through the floor of the airlock, too weak to move any farther. Jamie had left him sitting there in a pile of loose dust that had drifted in, while he clambered up the ladder set into the rover's side to survey their situation. He had not dared to step out into the sand itself, for fear that he would sink through the powdery dust so deeply that he would not be able to extricate himself. "The mission rulebook doesn't cover this," Jamie had told himself as he slowly, carefully climbed the ladder. He had gone up as if mountain climbing, 3 points attached at all times. Move one gloved hand to the next rung, grip it, then move the other hand, grip, then one booted foot. Make sure it's firmly seated on the rung, then pull up the other one. The dust frightened him. He pictured himself drowning in it, like a man caught in quicksand. Now, at last, he stood up on the roof. "If you have any power to help at all," he said silently to the fetish, "now's the time to get it working."
"What's it look like?"
Connor's voice came through his helmet earphones.
"Not good,"
Jamie replied, surveying the scene.
"She's buried up over the fenders, all except the last half of the rear module. Not enough traction to pull us out."
Connors said nothing, although Jamie could hear his ragged breathing.